The Holy Gospel according to John. Now, among those who went up to worship at the festival were some Greeks. They came to Philip, who was from Bethsaida in Galilee, and said to him, "Sir, we wish to see Jesus." Philip went and told Andrew. Then Andrew and Philip went and told Jesus. Jesus answered them, "The hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified. Very truly I tell you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the earth and dies, it remains just a single grain. But if it dies, it bears much fruit. Those who love their life lose it, and those who hate their life in this world will keep it for eternal life. Whoever serves me must follow me, and where I am, there my servant will be also. Whoever serves me, the Father will honor. Now my soul is troubled, and what should I say? Father, save me from this hour? No, it is for this reason that I have come to this hour. Father, glorify your name." Then a voice came from heaven, "I have glorified it, and I will glorify it again." The crowd standing there heard it and said that it was thunder. Others said, "An angel has spoken to him." Jesus answered, "This voice has come for your sake, not for mine. Now is the judgment of this world. Now the ruler of this world will be driven out. And I, when I am lifted up from the earth, will draw all people to myself." He said this to indicate the kind of death he was to die. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
I invite you to be seated. Jesus is a fascinating historical figure. Christian writings, the New Testament, have him born into a poor country and a poor family, and yet rich and poor, city and rural, over the ages have followed him. His career ended as itinerant preacher, ended in apparent failure. He was killed by the state, which is a matter of historical record. Confirmands always wonder that. Is Jesus a real person in history? Yes, there's historical records about him. But he has more followers than any other person in history, even though it appeared that he failed in the crucifixion. People were already intrigued by Jesus in his own day as well, as we hear in the gospel reading. Some Greek Jews in Jerusalem for the Passover festival wanted to see Jesus and said so to a couple of disciples. "Sir, we wish to see Jesus." You should know that in this gospel of John, the author is deeply ironical throughout the whole writing and says dying is really living and clinging to life is really dying. We have a hint of that here. And seeing is not merely physical sight. It's about whether you see truth, seeing as God sees. So we have the story of the blind man who can really see and the religious Pharisees who are really blind. When hearing that the foreign Jews wanted to see him, Jesus then reveals the most critical thing they'll see, his hour of glory. "The hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified, and when I am lifted up from the earth, I will draw all things to myself." "Sir, we wish to see Jesus." "You want to see me?" says Jesus. "Look at the cross. That's where you'll really see me." And we forget how shocking this is. We kind of use the cross as decoration. But Jesus points to his grisly execution as the hour of glory. John thought that it was so important for Christians that he even adds a verse of his own commentary. He said this to indicate the kind of death he was to die. John also wrote actually his whole gospel with that in mind. Today's reading follows the triumphal palm branch entrance into Jerusalem, which we'll kind of take part of next Sunday. beginning the final week of Jesus' life, and we're only at chapter 12 in John, with almost half the book in front of us. John's been called a crucifixion account with a prologue. Why is the execution so important? Perhaps John knows his community pretty well. He's writing this almost 50 to 60 years after the crucifixion and resurrection. Perhaps he worries that they'd rather see Jesus as a teacher or a moral leader, as in, if you follow Jesus' morals, principles, or even ideals that Jesus teaches, you'll be okay with God. Or maybe John worries that they'd rather see Jesus as a talisman, as in, if you align yourself with Jesus, you'll be safe and even get special privileges from God. Actually, perhaps John knows not only his own community, but human nature pretty well. After all, aren't those behind most religions in some way? Nope, John insists, Jesus is something very different. Execution, hour of glory. Why should the execution be so important? Because it's the moment of truth. It's the moment Jesus is unmasked as the Word from the beginning of creation. John's first verse of this whole book, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things came into being through him, and without him, not one thing came into being. What has come into being in him was life, and the life was the light of all people. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not overcome it." The executed Jesus also reveals the truth about us humans who prefer darkness. Because the humans who killed Jesus did just what all humans would always do. Not only not recognize, see God in the flesh, we have Jesus in our neighbor in this world, we see Jesus all the time, but also when threatened, we silence God. When we see Jesus on the cross, that is God silenced by us, our eyes are opened, momentarily seeing the self and the world as it truly is, in need of forgiveness, kind of upside down, in need of healing and truth, because we get it backwards. Because, Jesus says, clinging to self and to life and setting all of our identity and anchoring who we are in that is really death. And Jesus draws all who are dying to himself on the cross. Those who are dying from grief, from failure, from illness, those who know the futility of loving the self and the world. And that's how Christians, we hate life. We die to ourselves, we die to the world, to our anchoring in this world. This is the ironic image of John, who doesn't teach asceticism here, that is, he's not telling us to hate our physical bodies or hate the world. Physical world, hating the world is a metaphor. It means not trusting or looking to the world or the self for ultimate meaning. Bless you. We needed a moment of lightness there for a second, I thought. To those who need something other than the world and other than the self, those who know they're perishing and not enough, those who need forgiveness for silencing God, know that your death is swallowed up in Jesus' death. And there, ironically, new resurrection life is found. It's entrusting our whole life and even our death to Christ. That's where life is found. Through Christ, God brings life out of that death. God brings glory out of execution. He brings dancing out of grieving. Know that that weird noise that you're hearing right now, right? That's the noise. It's actually a woodpecker on our cross. And no, that's not a sign that God's trying to tell us something. Are you there, God? That was last week, exactly. Somebody was listening. Cool. Know that Christ comes to see you today. Sir, you came here to see Jesus, but Christ also comes to see you today through the words I'm speaking that somehow convey the word in the meal that we'll soon share, where we're as close to the word as the wine and bread is to our mouth. Christ, who was there at creation with God, is that close to us, who appears as a failure in human history, but whose execution was God's glory, who joins us together in one body, poor and rich, white and black, Democrat and Republican, woodpecker and church, who makes the weak strong and the strong weak, who draws even those who reject him. Yes, Jesus might be one of the most fascinating people in history, but at least on Sundays, what draws us to him isn't mere historical facts, but what he does among us right now. He shapes us into a cruciform people. For that's one thing Christians do whenever we gather. We learn once again how to die. Amen.